I might share this another time or two this morning. Some thoughts that came to me this week have actually been there for a long time, but I was verbalizing them. Probably have before. By the way, when something is fresh, it seems like it's brand new, though you might have known it for years. This text I'm going to deal on today, I was reading my Bible reading, and as I came across this and was reading through this, man, truth jumped out at me. And I thought, wow, I've never seen this before. And so just a little experiment, I went to my computer, and I keep all my sermons, and well, anyways, I found the book of Jude and the sermons I have on the book of Jude. I opened up two of those sermons, and I thought, I knew this before. But it was like brand new revelation. But it has come, I think, in a little bit fuller way. And, you know, as you grow older, as you grow in the Lord Jesus, there are things that come to your heart. Amen? So this is something that just blessed my heart. But let me share this with you. If we're to live the life of faith, we have to have faith. Amen? I know from the Word of God it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? All right, you read the context, by the way. It's also speaking of the preaching of the Word of God there. And so as we allow the Word of God to come into our hearts, faith is built. Do you ever think, why is that? Why is the Word of God so important? Well, a lot of folks say, oh, you just need to have faith, baby. You have to have faith in something. Okay? It's not faith. Faith by itself is it's an oxymoron. I mean, faith has to generate into something. We understand that, right? It has to be faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ, right? Okay. What is it, faith in Him? How, what is it that we believe? It's what He says. Q, if I'm going to believe you, I got to believe what you tell me. Okay? But if I never hear what you tell me, how do I know what to believe? True? How can we believe God when we don't hear His voice? Okay? And what's God's voice? It's His words. Okay? By the way, in addition to that, and don't misunderstand this, but the Spirit of God leads within our spirit. Okay? But it never leads contrary to the Word of God. Okay? We need to always understand that. Some people, they say, well, the Spirit led me, and doesn't, I mean, you know, Spirit led me to divorce him. Really? That isn't what the Word teaches, is it? No. Okay? The Spirit told me to spend my tithe on something I really like. After all, I'm in the ministry now. No. That isn't it. So we need to understand that, okay? All right, Book of Jude. Let's read this entire book this morning. If you've never read a book in the Bible, we're going to do it right now. I want you to pay special attention to verse number 3. And then as we get down to verse 20, through verse 23. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, by the way, let me just share this before I go on and read, because he said we're to contend for the faith, and now he's going to say some reasons why. But let's notice here. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Does verse 25 kind of get your blood percolating? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You this morning. We have the blessed privilege to read Your holy word. Thank You for this book. Thank You that You gave it to us. Oh God, we appreciate, Holy Spirit of God, Your bringing this to us. We thank You that You've preserved it through all of these years, that we might have it in our hands this morning and read it. Bless it now to our hearts, our minds. Bless the preaching of it. You've said You empower preaching. Lord, You have said that. And so, Lord, today we just ask for that great, wondrous blessing. And we look forward to Your working some things in our hearts. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I'm going to make a statement when I think about verse number 3, when it says that we ought to contend for the faith. It might seem a little odd. But listen to this. It isn't what you know that is important, but who you know. It isn't what you know, but who you know. By the way, put that with my remarks of a few moments ago, as we must, what? Hear the words of God to have our faith built in Him. A who, not a what. Okay? What we know helps us to know who He is. But many of God's people get so taken with Bible study, they do not ever really learn who it is about. Very popular today to want to know the Bible. And that's a good thing. I praise God for that. And folks buy a lot of books in order to try to gain some understanding in the Bible. That's probably good too. But to know about God and not to know Him personally ultimately is not good. For I have met people who could actually quote Scripture, folks who knew things about the Bible, many things about the Bible, but did not know my Savior. There'd be a big difference. The difference, by the way, ultimately is heaven and hell. And it's the difference between living death and living life as well. We need to understand that. It is possible, by the way, to know God and not be led of His Spirit. To know God and not be led of His Spirit. The book of Jude makes this, I believe, very clear if we don't understand what he means by contending for the faith. I've looked at that over the years, and most of the time as I thought about that, I thought, man, I need to know the doctrines of the Word of God, that when somebody gives an error, I might recognize that error, that I might be able to give them the truth of the Word of God. By the way, that is a good thing, and nothing wrong with that statement. But as I read the whole context of the book of Jude, I don't believe that's the way he wants me to contend for the faith. I believe there's something that is far greater than that. And I believe we find it especially in verses 20 through 23. By the way, we're not going to look at the many verses in between verse number 4 through verse number 19. In these verses, I believe it is describing with whom we will contend. I believe it has some tremendous teaching. There are some things within those verses that make this a tremendously rich book. I mean, 25 verses long, but this thing is packed. But I want us to take the few moments that we have this morning left. I've got to check where I'm at here. And just look at verses 20 through 23. As I look at these verses, I want to make two statements with you today and try to just share some thoughts about those statements, because I believe these come out of these verses. Our contention, and I've already mentioned this, and our contention is for the faith, not doctrines. We are to contend for the what? Faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing by the Word of God. And it's faith in what He has told us. It is believing God. In other words, it is believing what God has told us. Amen? It's not that we can debate the issues of the Bible, but as I look here in these verses, I believe it has to do with living them. Living it. Notice verse 20. But ye beloved. Now he's going to talk about what we do. He said contend to the faith, and now he's going to tell us, I believe, how. Building up yourselves on your what? Most holy faith. So if we're going to contend for the faith, we need to build ourselves in that faith. Okay? We need to believe God even more. And notice what he says here in this verse, praying in the Holy Ghost. One of the things that I do often now is we meet for prayer meeting time. And if you've never been in one of these times, you should. By the way, last night we broke into three groups. And I had the ladies in one group, had the men in one group. And I just sent our teenagers and little kids, there were about six or seven of them, and they went back there in that corner. And I tell you the truth, I don't know how long we men prayed. Most of us said things two or three different times and prayed, and probably the time was 10, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. The ladies were praying, and I could hear them with my ear just a little bit, and I could hear the rumbling, and I knew they were praying. And I could hear the young folks back there, and after a while I thought, oh, they're probably done, and they're just talking. We got done, and I looked over, and the ladies were all looking up, and I thought, they must have just finished too. And so we got up, and we walked over, and I looked back there. They're not talking to each other. They're praying. If you weren't there last night, you missed it. We waited 15 minutes before they got done. And then we gathered as a group, and some of them did the same thing all over again in a big group. And what a blessing it is. But same praying in the Holy Ghost. When we meet together, this is what I've been trying to instruct us to do. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen somebody and you just had an urge, you thought, boy, I should talk to them about Jesus? How many have ever had that? Okay. Some of you never had that? Serious? I mean, you just had that urge inside, and why need to talk to them about Jesus? Now let me ask you this. Have you dismissed that thought? Be honest. Yeah. Was that God or the devil putting that thought in your mind? What? No, the first one. To go talk to him. I'm sorry. I was wondering why you're saying the devil. You folks deceived in here? Yeah. God put that in your heart. He told us to what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so if God has put that urge in your heart, He's just saying, hey, here's one. Here's one. Amen. And then we dismiss it and guess who we've listened to? Yeah, the devil. That's the Spirit of God putting that urge there. Okay? You ever gone into church service and I stand up and I say, anybody got a testimony? And man, something comes in your heart, but you're just a little bit shy and so you sit there. I'll wait for somebody else. And anybody else have a testimony? Anybody? Going once, going twice? You know. And you sat there. Who put that in your heart? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Yeah. God put it there, but we hold it back. So, now think about this for a moment. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. So He's given us that unction. He's given us that little nudge. And we're so out of tune, we don't recognize that. Oh, how we need to get in tune with that. And so, during prayer meetings, what we're trying to get folks to understand is, hey, you know, if God puts one thought on your mind, I mean, old Uncle George, man, it's, oh God, help Uncle George to come to know Christ. That's all He's put on your mind. Pray it. Get it out. Shut up. Let somebody else. Amen? But what do we think when we go into prayer meetings? We have this idea. We go into prayer meetings that, boy, when it's my turn to pray, oh man, we step there and we sit there and we think, what can I pray? And I know what you do. I've done it. And we rehearse it in our minds. And the only reason we probably haven't done this is because we have no intention of doing anything. And we're sitting there. We've got all this thing figured out. We've got a little outline we're going to pray, you know. And we think of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to say, our Father. And, you know, we go through all this business. No, let God, whatever it's in your heart. But we come to the idea, boy, I've got to pray a big, long prayer because, after all, Jim there, he prayed for 10 minutes. Well, maybe God put that on Jim's heart for 10 minutes. But maybe yours is 5 seconds. By the way, length isn't important. It's allowing God to speak to your heart that you might pray. Now, let me ask you this. If God, think about this. If God lays something on your heart to pray for, is it so He can say no? I mean, if you've got a gift you want to give one of your children, you say, guess what it is, and I'll give it to you. You're hoping, man, this what it is. And you'll give them hints. I mean, you do everything. Why? Because you want to give that. The Lord is doing that in our prayer life. We begin to listen to that. Why is He going to lay something on your heart that is proper? I mean, it's right. It's godly. It's biblical. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, everybody's praying and, you know, and you got Jaguar on your mind. Do they still make those? I guess. It wouldn't do me any good because I wouldn't fit. Why do they make cars you can't get into? Now, you agree. We got it. Yeah. Okay. You vertically challenge folks. Praise God, you can get into those things, you know. Sometimes you think we're at an advantage, sometimes we're at a disadvantage. Aren't you glad God makes us all different? He makes tall ones, short ones, round ones, you know, skinny ones, you know, whatever. Anyways, God lays those things in our heart. And so we need to allow God to lead us in it. So he's saying, pray in the Holy Ghost, or pray in the Holy Spirit of God. We need to understand that if we're going to contend for the faith, that you and I, we must be building that faith. And much of that comes through prayer. Because when we really believe God, guess what we do? We talk to Him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You see, God will put in your heart exactly what you need to pray for in your life. And when you know what you're praying for in your life, and God has laid that in your heart, what happens? When you see the answer, you know it came from God. And you don't have pride because, man, look at me, I'm a self-made man. No, it's what God does in our hearts. Amen? Allowing the Spirit of God. By the way, notice there, praying. If I understand English grammar right, it's present participle. Oh, Mrs. Becky, am I right? Present participle? Okay, thank you. It doesn't matter if I'm right on that part, but this is the part that's right. It is going on all the time. Okay? It's not a past tense moment. It's not a future moment. It's something that's now and now and now and now and now and now and now. Always going on. That's what God wants. Our contention is for the faith, not the doctrines. The second thing that comes to my heart and my mind as I think about contending for the faith, because it's a spiritual battle that we're in, our contention must be with two attitudes. And when I look at verse 21 and 22, those attitudes come forth tremendously. Keep yourselves where? In the love of God. You see, when we are contending for the faith, those whom we are contending with, if it is others, if we are contending for the faith, we are wanting the best for them. We're not seeking to tear them apart or put them down. It is for their best. Hey, the Muslims do the other jobs for this. We see the difference? I thought this morning, by the way, one of our missionaries, Dave Disney, is in Concepcion, Chile, where the thing hit. I have no idea what has happened to him. I'm hoping an email comes shortly. I have no idea what they're facing down there. But I'll guarantee you this, it will be the Christians who are out there really seeking to help those folks, not only physically, but spiritually. You will not find a delegation from Saudi Arabia show up. Have you yet? It's God's people. It's love within, all right? Amen? That is the motivating factor. That ought to be the attitude. And we ought to be, persuading people out of a heart of love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to share this morning, in the morning service, a little illustration that God's given me, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing, and I hope you'll remember back to these words as well when we get to that particular spot. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, doing what? Making a difference. Our contention must be with two attitudes. We're going to contend for the faith. Our doctrine's involved, yes, but it's faith in those doctrines. Our believing God. And if we're going to believe God, we've got, what are we going to do? We're going to be a demonstration of that. It's going to be that our pattern is one that is following after the leadership of the Spirit of God through our hearts and our minds, through the Word of God, because He leads primarily with it. But notice the second thing that I believe is an attitude that we must have. It's found in verse number 23. He says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I'm going to use this term, holiness. Here's the problem that you and I have when we look at other people and we're contending for the faith. They believe the wrong thing. If we're led of the Spirit of God It's with a spirit of holiness. And it's not a spirit that says, I hate that person because of who he is or what he's doing. We look and we realize that it's the sin we hate. We hate it in our own lives. We hate it in their lives. But with a spirit of holiness, we really love the person. We put these two things together. With a spirit of love and a spirit of holiness. And we've got to differentiate between that. If there's people that is in your mind that every time you think of them, that you think of things that they do. Now be honest. Be terribly honest. The word nowadays is transparent. Be terribly honest with yourself. You look at that individual and you think of some of the stupid things they do. And we get a bad attitude towards them. Here is a person that God loves. They do stupid things, but I am to what? Love them. Having the spirit of holiness, I hate what that thing is doing to them. And because I hate so much what that's doing to him, I hate so much what it's done to me, out of that spirit, I want them to recognize true faith, believing God. Believing God. I believe that's the contention that becomes successful in lives. And too many times we just, in a hateful manner, with a very ungracious manner, we approach people. And I'll tell you what, you don't accomplish anything that way. All you manage to do is to generate what you've given them, and that's hatred back to yourself. It's a bad spirit back to yourself. How did Jesus handle those things? There were people who came to Him in terrible ways, trying to trip Him up. And yet, it was in a gracious manner. It was in a manner that even in rebuke, they recognized He was doing it because He cared about them. Amen. If you've disciplined your children the way God wants you to discipline your children, you're going to spank them from time to time. Or if it's certain kinds of children, you will spank them many times. Hour one, how many did they get then? Hour two, how many did they get then? You know, whether God gives you one or God gives you 23 children, ooh, what a thought. You're probably going to be given one that many times is it's going to fit them, amen? But you can do it two ways. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Okay? By the way, if you love your children, you will chasten them. Dads, moms, you've got to get a hold of that. Letting them go in sin is not what God wants you to do. That is a horrible crime against your children. But if when we do it out of an angry spirit, it will not help. I've done it both ways. I know that it works when you do it the right way. And there's actually been times whereby in my life that I, when children were home and I had that, you know, I used the belt. I never used the hand, by the way. Well, I did a few times, but I learned that was really the wrong thing to do. If I use my hand and I reach out and want to hug them, ooh! See, God said rod for a reason. And so when... Why did that bell ring? I thought it was going too slow, too fast. And if we love them, we're going to do that out of love. But I've done it both ways. And the thing that sometimes I've had to do was just set them down, make them wait for a while till I cooled down so I could do it in love. And brethren, if we go into a situation we find ourselves reacting the wrong way in our contentions, or our contending, I should say, we need to get along with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, we might do it the right way. Father, today, work in our hearts. Bless, I pray, in the hour to follow. Glorify yourself in all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. No, you can bring them up.